All right, this morning's scripture is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said to them, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. As we start to prepare ourselves, for many of us, to go back to school, for kids to go back to school, or just the back-to-school time of year, we think about the many ways that we are sharpened, that we get prepared. And so we turn to the greatest teacher of all, that Jesus did not come just for what happened on the cross, but he came to lead an example of a life, to model what the kingdom of God looked like, to show us how we can live in this life, to have joy in the true fullness of what he showed out of the kingdom. And so we ask ourselves, how can we learn from that teacher? How can we learn what's the point? And so Jesus sharpens us to prepare us to go back to work, to go back to school. And so, what does Jesus ask of us? It's interesting, as I kind of was thinking this week about all the things I feel like God has asked of me over the years, the ways I have maybe done well with that, and other ways I feel like I have done terrible with that. But it got me thinking about the things that I've asked of God. Who has ever seen a miracle? Have any of y'all ever seen a miracle? What did you see? It changed you? Changed people? Yeah. Given 3 months to live and lived for 16 more years. Amen. And did not die of cancer. Anything else? What's a miracle that you've seen? It's so funny talking about miracles because I think every single one of us has seen a miracle in some way, but we're not accustomed to talking about it. And one of the main reasons we're not accustomed to talk about it is sometimes we sound crazy when we talk about it. Other times we've talked ourselves out of it and saying that something that we have seen, it's easily dismissed, it's easily explained away. There was this one time when I was in a church that I was growing up, they invited a preacher to come in to preach a revival. And this guy came in, and he was from Ireland. And I thought it was the craziest thing that we had to get somebody from Ireland to come in to revive us when I thought I was pretty revived at that point. But it was my first experience with a revival. But this guy, man, he could preach. And one night he was telling a story about how he was on a bus and something had happened right outside the bus and somebody had experienced this gruesome leg injury. And everybody kind of piled off the bus, and he was within that group, and they just started praying for this guy, and that his leg was miraculously healed and restored. And me as a teenager, I thought that was incredible. I was like, man, I want to see that. I want to be a part of something like that. And so I just started shoving people over, hoping that they would get a gruesome leg injury. I didn't really do that. But just wanting to be a part of something that I could put a stamp on to say that that's a miracle. Something more than sunsets and sunrises and you know, the way that, you know, seeds turn into flowers and things like that, which are incredible miracles, but I wanted something, you know, like, come on. I know you got it in you, God. Let me see what you got. So I went to summer camp that year, and it was in Anniston, Alabama. And I remember praying to God before I went and when I got there and all throughout the week that I wanted to see a miracle. I was like, God, show me a miracle. And it was funny because they started kind of slow. And maybe I think they started slow because I probably missed the first couple that God showed me. And most of them were maybe ones you could easily dismiss. Everything from this young boy that was playing in a volleyball game, that he was too small and uncoordinated in every way and not capable of really hanging with the high schoolers and the college-age kids and the counselors that were playing in this game. And yet, every point that he missed that entire game did not mean anything when he lined up for the last serve of the game and hit the most beautiful serve you've ever seen in your life, that went right to the back corner of the other court for an ace to win the game. This kid that had failed at every opportunity leading up to that, all the campers lifted him up, were cheering him on, were patting him on the back, were cheering for him, and the look on his face was miraculous. It was incredible. That's one that's so easily explained and dismissed away. But as the week went on, there was other things that started happening. Things that I couldn't explain, and things that I didn't even try to explain after a point in time. There was at one point as a counselor that I was sitting at the rail and I was praying with this young high school girl that was coming down. And she was praying for some situations and some things that were going on in her lives. And we had an incredible prayer. I mean, I am fully convinced that we both kind of knocked on the door of heaven and we got a response. I am fully convinced that we're communicating fully with the Holy Spirit and with God. And yet she stood up and she started to go back to her seat. And then a stranger kind of came out, somebody that neither one of us recognized, and kind of got her attention a little bit. And he said, I don't think you're done yet. He said, God keeps telling me that I'm supposed to tell you something. And he began to tell her things about her life and things that had happened to her that she had told no one, that she didn't think anybody knew about. And she collapsed right there on the floor and started praying in a way that I've never heard somebody pray before. And I miraculously saw that girl transform in front of my eyes and be healed of a darkness that had been haunting her for so long in an incredible way that I couldn't explain or even want to explain away. And there was other things as the week went on, other things that started popping up and showing me that there are miracles all around us, that there are miracles within every single one of us, even when we don't expect them, even when they come in ways that we don't expect, even when they come in ways that we don't like, that God is working and moving all around us. But what I began to experience more than anything else as the week went on, that it wasn't that the miracles that were happening around me, it was the miracles that God started calling me to be a part of, that started happening that I never expected or never knew that there was something inside of me that could do miraculous things that God was calling into. And the scripture that we read this morning, it's one of the most familiar stories that we have in our scriptures, the feeding of the 5,000. And it meets Jesus at a very unique point in his life where he hears about the death of John the Baptist. And what you would assume is out of grief or just out of a need to separate, just to get some time for himself, Jesus kind of pulls away. And in this gospel, it says that he gets in a boat and goes to a deserted place. Now, at this point in his ministry, the crowds had been following him just everywhere that he went, wanting to hear from him, his teachings, what he had to say about things, to be healed, skin conditions, broken bones, maladies, people that were dying, people bringing them all along the shore, chasing after this man that they had heard stories and had seen do miraculous things. And so it says that when Jesus returned, he saw the crowds on the shore and it had compassion for them. And he went on the shore and he began healing them. Skin conditions, broken bones, diseases, broken hearts, frustrations, disappointments. It's not specific, but in the fact that Jesus returned to them and opened up his heart to them. Now, at this point, the crowds had seemed to get massive, and it had gotten pretty late in the day. And up on the hill, the disciples came, and they always sort of looking out for Jesus. They say, it's getting a little late. Everybody getting a little hungry. I think it's time to break up the prayer meeting. Go get something to eat. So they asked Jesus to dismiss the crowd so they can go into the villages to get something to eat. But Jesus said something incredible to the disciples. He said, so there's no need to send them away. You feed them. And I think what's so funny about the story is here's where we kind of come into it. That if we put ourselves in the position of the disciples, I think we have almost the same lines of dialogue that the disciples go through. Because they've got every excuse in the book. That it's late, they don't have enough money, they don't have enough time, they don't have enough to eat themselves. And what's incredible about those excuses is every single one of them is true. Every single one of them is true. And yet Jesus doesn't ask them to operate within their own imagination of what they think they can accomplish. But instead he shows them something that they could do. And I don't believe for a second that what Jesus did on the side of that mountain was anything different than the disciples could have done themselves if they had prayed and believed in that very moment. And so they show them what they have. They have a lunch. They got some fish, and they got some bread. And Jesus says, bring them to me. And he lifts it up to heaven. He blesses it. He gives it to disciples, and they begin handing it out. And what's incredible is they keep handing it out. And then they keep handing it out some more. And then the baskets keep going around. And even after everybody's eaten, they send the baskets just to pick up the leftovers that are still there. Enough to fill the baskets to overfilling. What Jesus asks of us is incredible because it's more than what we can do. He doesn't ask us to just do the simple things and the easy things. He asks us to do miraculous things. He asks us to do things that are harder than anything we can possibly do on our own. And we've got the same excuses that the disciples had. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough of our for ourselves, let alone for the thousands of people that still have needs that are surrounding us. And yet Jesus still asked them to do it anyway. There are a lot of theories about what happened on that hillside. Some of them are phenomenally sacred. Ideas that everybody brought their own lunch. And when they saw the disciples begin to spread out theirs, that everybody started contributing theirs. And that it was that the miracle of generosity that the crowds and the thousands were fed. A lot of theories of what happened on that hillside. But the truth is that bellies were empty and then they got full. That something miraculous happen. But the miracle was not the miracle that they were expecting. Each one of you has miracles inside you. But the miracles are not always meant for you. They're meant to be done. They're meant to be spread out. They're meant to be given away. And we're meant to participate in the very giving of miracles to this world. And out of that, we and the spaces that we live and work and operate are changed in incredible ways. More than anything we can imagine on our own. Everything in this world that seems impossible, God met head on. Everything in this world that has crushed us, God has indeed broken and has claimed has no more power over us. And he showed us that what happened on that hillside was not just for him to do, but was a calling that each of us have to this world. So what does Jesus ask of us? To go and to feed the people. And then what was the second thing that Jesus told them? Bring them to me. Have the people come to me. You have miracles inside you that are meant and have people's names written on them to go and do incredible things. And sometimes it starts with the small things. Sometimes it starts with encouraging words. It starts with strengthening moments of just praying for somebody or encouraging somebody. But you're going to get invited by God to do things that you think are impossible. And you'll have every right to make an excuse, and you'll be absolutely right when you make it. And yet God will still ask of you to do impossible things, because God did impossible things for us. On this Sunday, we share a meal together. And from this meal, something impossible happens. The very life of God fills us and moves within us and calls for us to be a greater work and a greater sign of life and testimony to this world. We are filled with the very life of God, and knowing that there is nothing that God calls us to do in which he is not right there with us as well. That we are participating, and we are in fact becoming the very unfolding of the kingdom of God. Now there is nothing that we have done that made us worthy of this. There is nothing that we have done to earn this on our own. But simply out of the grace and the love of God, that God would come to us and give us his life, that we might be life for this world. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do not presume to come to this table out of our own goodness or our own merits. But Lord, in your unfailing mercies, we are not worthy that you should receive us, but give us your word and we shall be healed. And we do this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.